The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Are you ready?
You think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. To the masters. Break it down.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on, post by others. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Jongy Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Lots of very good stuff the first hour. Rod Babers joined us to talk about the Steve Patterson thing. Had a little gambling talk and a little football talk. Just some general stuff that was really good. If you want to hear it, it's all on podcastarena.com, which is our new podcast site for all the things here at Gow Media, plus a lot of other things to come. Terrific site, great on mobile, so get on there, check it out if you missed it. All kinds of ways to listen. You can listen on TuneIn Radio. You can listen on ESPN Radio, the ESPN Radio app, or you can listen to ESPN975.com, or you can listen to your regular radio, which we always prefer. However you're listening, thanks. Appreciate you guys. Hope you're having a great Tuesday. Doing our best, too. A couple people asking about some of the games this weekend. Somebody said, I got Pats minus 1.5 yesterday. Not sure if the line has moved. That's a gimme as far as I'm concerned. I that line hasn't moved. I don't really see anything that jumps out at me yet in the NFL this week. I'm a little intrigued by the Colts minus 7 at home against the Jets. I think they're going to bounce back in a big way. But I don't like it on that number. I'm going to keep an eye on it. If it gets inside of 7, I'll think about it. But right now, I don't really have anything. And I don't...
By the way, you might want to look at New England's early season record at Buffalo.
And at really at all the AFC places.
It ain't pretty.
All the AFC East places. It's not. And
When they're good and Buffalo's bad.
Yeah, I don't think...
And Buffalo's not bad this year.
I don't think that's a gimme at all.
I'll say, just like I said last week, though, I don't think there's a gimme on the board, like a line that I think is way off.
No, and that's the thing. It's especially with the NFL, to me, it's easier to find college lines that are out of whack.
If you put a gun to my head right now, the game I would probably say I want the most, and I think it'll continue to go up, so I wouldn't play it now if I had to. I think Jacksonville plus 6 hosting the Dolphins seems off.
That's at 7 now.
Yeah,
I'm seeing it at 7. So that might be
7 to me. That's a play. Jacksonville plus a touchdown is a play.
Yeah, just at the site I'm looking at, it's a 7. So.
Okay.
But otherwise, yeah, I as of today, I don't really have anything that I can say, man, jump on this now because that line's out of whack. Despite what happened Sunday and despite the fact that they're not as good on the road, I'm also a little intrigued by the Seahawks getting outside a field goal to the Packers.
Yeah.
I don't think that's bad value either.
All right. And you're usually a guy who hates all that negative body clock stuff.
No, I know, but that's a night game, though.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's a 7:30 game, so that doesn't bother me. But I do think, I think the Packers, and I like the Packers, and I'm never that huge on the Seahawks, but in that case, man, you're giving me that team with 3.5 points,
yeah,
especially coming off a loss. I have a hard time believing the Seahawks are going to go 0-2. It's possible, but...
Crazier things have happened.
Indeed they have. All right, let's try some phone calls. Let's try Jonathan. What's up, Jonathan? Happy Tuesday.
Hey, sports gentlemen.
Sports, man.
Hey, guys. Just got a quick question. It's my second season playing fantasy football, and I picked up Dez. Just wondering if you guys think that I should keep him on the bench for the time that he's out, or should I just go ahead and get rid of him?
No, you keep Dez on. You keep him. You don't drop him.
Yeah,
That's a guy who, when he comes back, he's too valuable. You can't drop that guy.
And if it all works out well for you and your team's still in contention, he'll come back when you're making your playoff push. So that's a guy you want to keep. Let's try Cody. What's up, Cody?
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
We're doing sports, man.
Oh, same here. I'm off topic again. I just love you guys' input. But if y'all had to choose one craft beer for each of you for the rest of the life, for the rest of your life that you had to drink, what would it be? I'm going to go ahead and hang up and listen. Thank you.
Rest of my life.
That's tough.
Yeah, I would. Well, I think mine's pretty easy. If I had whatever access I wanted to,
yeah,
it would be one of the Bourbon Barrel Hellfighters, followed by Brooklyn Black Ops.
See, that stuff's too heavy for me to drink every single day.
Not for me. I'll drink that stuff for breakfast, man.
Yeah, I'd probably go with my favorite beer that I could drink every day is like Three Floyd Zombie Dust. That's probably the best I can give you.
But you know, it's the good thing is we don't have to choose.
No.
Because it's
America.
It's America, and it's like women. There's all kinds of different flavors and types out there, and you know, you get to choose them all.
You know? Dude.
Till you get married.
Yeah.
And then you gotta just drink the one.
Yeah, whatever your wife doesn't drink.
Yeah, exactly. I'm very fortunate in that my wife does not like any of my bourbon age porters. So I never have to worry about her stealing that. But man, there's a couple that if I bring home and put in that fridge, they're gone. Like, I have to hide them in the back from her.
Yeah.
Like, she loves that Not Your Dad's Root Beer. She loves anytime I bring 1836 home, which, by the way, Maple Leaf Pub has a special that they did of the 1836 aged in maple barrels.
Yeah.
It's only available there. I highly recommend you get over there and get one.
Yeah, my wife is about ciders. That's what she's into.
Yeah, Val likes ciders, too.
And vodka. She likes vodka.
Yeah, that's why they probably get along.
Yeah.
But no, that's the best thing is I never have to worry about her. If I just tell her, yeah, that's a barrel-aged porter, it's like, oh, yuck, not for me. All right, let's try Nolan. What's up, Nolan?
Hey, guys, sports.
Sports.
Hey, first-time listener and first-time caller, for sure. You guys have an awesome show, by the way. I've been thoroughly entertained while I've been in the Houston area. Quick question for you. I'm a Baylor guy. And I was wondering if you guys think that the Big 12 could be left out of the college football playoff for a second year, even if having the Big 12 champion with two top Big 10 teams in the market right now, and obviously the Pac-12 South still being pretty good.
I think absolutely they could. I think because the Big 12 right now, and I know you're not going to want to hear this as Baylor guy, but if the team that wins the Big 12 is Baylor or TCU, that name doesn't hold the swagger of the names of the teams that are going to win the other conferences. And if someone has to choose between USC in a playoff and Baylor, I hate to break it to you. You're not going to come out good on that thing.
No, but I think the advantage the Big 12 has this year is I think Oklahoma's good again. So if you have a win over Oklahoma and a win over TCU, you're going to be hard. It's going to have a hard time leaving you out.
I think
same thing for the other two teams. If they go ahead and even with one loss, now, I think Oklahoma is going to have more of an opportunity than those schools will, especially when you add, you know, factor in that they wouldn't beat Tennessee on the road. But I think it helps having a good OU team, and I think it's important for OU to be good, just like it's important for Texas to be good for the conference. And if they are good and you have a win over them, that's going to count a hell of a lot more than even a win over TCU.
But I do think if a Big 12 team can go undefeated, I think that's –
There's no way they get left out if they go undefeated.
If they lose a game and you put all the one-loss teams in a hat, if Oklahoma's a one-loss team, maybe they get in. But I think if you've got three one-loss teams and you can only choose one of them, Baylor and TCU aren't going to be chosen.
I think they will this year because I don't think you're going to have as many one-loss teams as you think you've seen. That all these teams are going to get out of their conference with
one
loss.
They might. I mean, I'm sure they won't.
I think you're going to see.
I'm just saying in the hypothetical situation that they do.
Right. If they're all one-loss.
How about if there's a season like last year and you've got the same squad of teams?
They're probably not getting in. The difference is this year you don't have a Florida State who's going to go unbeaten, who's a defending champ. So I think there's a spot there, and unless some ACC team turns out to be terrific, I think that's a Big 12 spot unless...
By the way, Florida State is still undefeated.
They still
are. Crazier things have happened, and their schedule is not exactly terrifying.
No, but I'd be surprised if they ran the table this year.
I would be too, but I think if a Florida State or a Clemson or Georgia Tech even gets through that thing undefeated... Yeah. And they've got wins over the other teams, that's going to look good enough.
Well, and I think that kind of goes to what I was saying about the Big 12. If you were one of those teams, I think those other, Georgia Tech, Clemson, Florida State, one of those beats the other two and gets through with one loss, that's going to look pretty good. Just like if Baylor beats TCU in Oklahoma and maybe loses to Oklahoma State or something, still going to look pretty good. So, yeah, it's a little too early to speculate on it, but I think this year you're going to wind up with a lot more two-loss teams. I don't think it's going to be like it was last year. I don't know if it'll be as easy. I don't think it'll be as difficult where you have six teams that you can make a case for.
Yeah.
But you're probably going to have five. And I'm assuming the Big 12 champion.
I think the SEC is going to eat themselves up. I think the Pac 12 is going to eat themselves up because there's too many good teams.
And
we know for a fact the Big 10, Michigan State and Ohio State are going to play each other.
Right.
Although I'll say this, if Michigan State and Ohio State play each other and you've got a one loss team, one of those teams, that's their only loss.
Yeah, I think
they get in over a one loss Big 10 or Big 12 team for sure.
Probably so. Yeah.
Michigan State beat Oregon.
Yeah.
You know, Ohio State's the defending national champion. If their only loss is to an undefeated Michigan State, you don't think they're getting in the playoffs? Yeah.
Somebody asked if BYU ran the table, could they be in? I would say,
boy, it's highly unlikely.
It's highly unlikely unless you get a situation with a lot of two-loss teams. And I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility because you mentioned that the Pac-12 and the SEC are going to cannibalize themselves a little bit. If both those champions have two losses...
I don't even want to have this conversation. UCLA is going to kick the snot out of BYU on Saturday.
I think that's going to end it, yeah.
So, crazier things have happened.
But if they do that, they've already got a win at Nebraska, a win over Boise, and a win over UCLA, that's a damn good resume. Yeah. And they've got some good games coming home. So
BYU is doing what they're supposed to do as an independent, and their schedule at the end of the season for an independent is going to look really good. And they're playing more tough teams than Baylor is. And Baylor's in a Power 5 conference. At Nebraska, at UCLA, Mizzou, Boise, at Michigan. They're not dodging anybody.
And even the teams they're playing from non-Power 5 conferences, East Carolina, Cincinnati,
yeah.
San Jose, at Missouri later in the year, at Utah State to finish the season. So, yeah, I think if they run the table, they got a damn good – they'll have a damn good argument because that win over UCLA, I think, will look really good.
But I don't think that win is going to happen.
I will be surprised. That UCLA team is very good. But I do think BYU is better than people give them credit for. It's going to be hard for them to run it. Even if you get by UCLA, that trip to Michigan is not going to be easy either, especially on the heels of Nebraska, Boise, UCLA.
But if they end up with one loss with that schedule, they'll get
they'll get the at-large.
Yeah, that bid on New Year's Day bowls.
All right, guys, got to tell you about my good friends at Tubelo's, and we were out there last night, had a great time as always, and if you haven't been out there and you live up north, you're missing out. Rayford Road, Tubelo's is just a great, great sports bar with terrific food, great people. Chip and his team will take care of you. And during football season, they got Monday Night Football. Of course, we were out there last night. You can go out there for Thursday Night Football, and you want to watch the Astros. It's a great place to do it. There's not a bad place to sit in the house. The food's amazing. There's not a thing on the menu that I haven't had that I absolutely love. And it's a great place for the whole family. You can see a lot of people bring their kids, which is fine. And so you can bring them out there, and they're not going to bother you if you're not coming without any, because there's all kinds of other stuff to do there as well. And coming up on October 12th, Tubelo's first annual charity golf event. It is going to be at the Woodlands Country Club, the Arnold Palmer course, which is a very cool course. It's going to benefit the Easter Seals of Greater Houston, and if you want to play, all you have to do is go to 975golf.com. It's got you all set up there where you can sign up and play, or you can go to tubelosportsbar.com and then just follow the links to it. But 975golf.com to find out all about that tournament, which we're going to be out there for. So it'll be a great opportunity to raise some money for a terrific cause. And you know what? Have some fun, play golf, and drink a little bit. And if you can't make the golf tournament, you can always make it to Tubelo's. We're out there all the time telling you it's the kind of place you can really make your home away from home. That's Tubelo's, 2907 Rayford Road in Spring, tubelos.com. She reels them in hook, line, and sinker,
while sting dry upon the shore. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Live
From the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Happy Tuesday. So far, people seem to be in a pretty good mood today. For
so far, so good, huh?
Yeah. Of course, I'm just kind of ignoring the ones that aren't. But
it's the way to go.
Yeah, that's how we get to the 95% thing, man.
Yep.
And to Local Music Tuesday, which, sorry, Jong and I were distracted, so we didn't get into the local music right off the bat. But from now on, all the rest of the bumper music, all local bands.
Bro.
Hey, man, I was kind of excited today. Sorry. It's my fault.
That's all right. I forgive you.
So basically, per my understanding, BYU can only get an at-large access bowl and not the group of five access bowl. Is that correct? I believe that's the case. So
I'm not sure. Yeah, the only way they can't get, I mean, they'd have to be an at-large.
Right, right. And believe me, if they were to go
just like any of the other non-power five teams.
Yeah, if they were to lose one game, by the time you get the four teams in the playoffs, you're really going to take a 9-3 Georgia team over a one loss BYU?
Dude, if Boise, probably not. If BYU has one loss and they've got wins over Mizzou and Michigan and Boise, it's hard for me to just in Nebraska. It's hard for me to justify keeping them out. And you know,
I agree.
You know, I'm all about, you know, keeping the balance of power in the way of the big schools. But yeah, that's hard to deny. I'm an elitist when it comes to football.
Yeah,
but
you're a one percenter.
If they play that kind of schedule and they're able to come out with one loss, kudos to them.
And now the problem is I just think it's going to be hard for them with the four games they have right at the beginning of the season. It's even if they were to beat UCLA, I wouldn't be shocked if they went in and lost to Michigan the next week. It's just really hard for teams like that, even though they have a bunch of 40-year-olds on their team. It's still really hard to sustain that kind of success week in and week out against teams of equal talent or better talent, which is what they're facing. So, yeah, I would be stunned if they got out of this stretch 4-0. But if they do, that's a team you're going to put in the competition. And by the way, at 6 o'clock, we'll have our rankings.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you BYU's
top 25.
I bet you BYU's in my rankings.
Okay.
Let's grab a phone call. Mac, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Guys, sports.
Sports to you, man.
All right. I got a question. I'm getting into the sports, you know, gambling and all that stuff, and I, you know, definitely value y'all's opinion. And last week I saw that Clemson was only giving up 17 points to Appalachian State this week. So I jumped all over that. I thought that was a mortal lock, which turns out I was right. They scored over 30 points in the first half. And then you know, this week they're only given 6 to Louisville, who struggled. I just wanted to kind of get your guys' opinions on what's going on and what am I missing here.
Okay.
I'll hang up and listen.
Well, first remember that Louisville is not – I mean, Louisville's not Appalachian State. I mean, Louisville struggled last week against a better team than Appalachian State. And Louisville's at home. Clemson was at home for Appalachian State. They're on the road now. 6.5 seems about right. I like that it's under 7. But I don't love that play either way. I see kind of what you're saying as you expected. They beat Appalachian State, who is a bad team, and they're giving way less points. But Louisville, if Louisville had played Appalachian State, it'd be a 20-something point spread. So the number's about right.
Yeah, and Louisville, the quarterback issue concerns me a little bit with them. But being at home and now 0-2, I think you're going to see their best shot.
Yeah.
And that one I'm not in love with. I do like Clemson. I like their quarterback a lot. But, you know, minus inside of 7, okay. But you know what? Thursday night home game, that's another reason I might go the other way.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of home dogs on Thursday nights. And that's another reason why I think the lines have started to correct themselves on that, by the way, which is why Clemson's probably inside a touchdown now. The Vegas is too smart to let that keep going.
Yeah.
Louisville probably should, off those two losses, be 8 or 9 point dogs. So, yeah, I might go the other way, actually.
Okay.
713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Let us try Daniel. What's up, Daniel?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Sports guys. Yo.
Hey, just want to ask y'all about the Cowboys and Eagles. When I saw the Eagles last night,
I kind of saw that they weren't getting a lot of pressure on Atlanta, and they've always had a suspect O-line. Just wanted, I know Dez is out, but I still think it's going to be a pretty good game. I definitely would go the over on that. I think they're both going to score a lot of points. Just want to ask for your opinion. Keep up the good work, guys.
Yeah, the over, if I'm not mistaken, is in the mid-50s, which is – that's a big number for even by NFL standard. That's a lot of points. Yeah, they did have a hard time getting after the passer last night against the suspect O-line. And I assume they'll have a problem getting after Tony Romo. But I don't know. The Eagles, I don't know what to think of them because and really the Cowboys too. We saw two completely different halves.
Yeah.
And if the Eagles play like they played in the second half, they're good enough to beat the Cowboys. If they play like they did the first half, the Cowboys will run them out of the building. Missing Dez is a big deal because now your best skill position guy is Terrence Williams, or I guess Jason Witten. But, I mean, your weapons aren't elite at this point if you're the Cowboys. So I think it's going to be an interesting game. 55 points seems like a lot, but it wouldn't shock me.
No, and I think you'll see a better performance out of the Eagles this week. And we were saying this last week, the team that Chip Kelly's trotting out there first week and really first 3 or 4 weeks is not going to be the same one they have later in the year. I think they're going to get better as the season goes on. They've got to figure out how to use DeMarco Murray more. And again, part of that was they got down so big early, and then they had to come out and throw the ball. Sam Bradford's working his way into a new offense. I think it's going to be interesting. It's not a game that I'm interested in betting on, but it is one I'm interested in watching. All right, let's see if we can squeeze in another one.
I'm planning on listening to that game on my way home.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'll be driving home from New Orleans.
I think we're planning a trip over there next month. We're going to go over for the weekend, but I think we're going to fly over after the show and just do it that way.
Good call.
I mean, I might have to take a Friday off for once, but we'll see how things are going here. Let's try Eric. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, since I have a question for you guys. Since the Cowboys are basically taking wide receivers off the trash heap at this point to try and replace Dez, what do you think about them taking a flyer and calling Randy Moss? They could sign him to a 10-day contract, and it's basically a no-risk deal. So what do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how good a shape he's in. I know that the
he claims he is, and he's been working out.
They worked out Hakeem Nicks, I know.
Most of the guys they've worked out are even if you get Randy Moss, it's not like he's going to help you much. But Hakeem Nicks doesn't excite me.
Austin Pettis,
yeah.
I mean,
but that's more likely the kind of guy you're going to sign. And going and getting Randy Moss at this stage when he hasn't been in camp and he hasn't played in 2 years and he wasn't very good at the end.
I could see Jerry Jones. That's a total.
It is
a Jerry Jones move.
But you know what? At this stage, I'm more willing to give Randy Moss a shot than most of these other names that always come up. But at this point, just go dig up Michael Irvin.
Yeah,
I mean, that's kind of what you're doing when you're going after old guys like this. But I wouldn't hate it, and I could see Jerry doing it, but I wouldn't get my hopes up. It wouldn't be one of those things where if they sign him, go, oh man, we're getting Randy Moss. No, you're getting Randy Moss that hasn't played in 2 years and was pretty much useless at the end of his career. So anyway, but I'm sure that's one that will. I'm sure that's being speculated on quite a bit in the DFW area. All right, guys, got to tell you about Quick Weight Loss, and it's funny. I was going over my schedule of all the races that we're going to run over the next 2 months, which is pretty ambitious. I'm probably too ambitious, but the cool thing is, man, I wouldn't have been able to do this a couple years ago, and we pretty much have one coming up every single week for the next 2 months. And I'm excited about it because the great thing is that now I can actually do this stuff. And I couldn't, man. I wanted to get back to working out and playing basketball and all those things. And I tried losing weight. I tried exercising. Nothing worked. Go to Quick Weight Loss. Boom. 50 pounds off just like that. And the best part is it stayed off. And I've been able to exercise and do all the things that I couldn't do before. And the great thing about it is you don't have to on the program. Get the weight off, and then you can get back in the gym and start feeling good about yourself. The results are guaranteed. You don't have to exercise, no prepackaged meals, and you're going to get the weight off. All you have to do is follow that program, and I guarantee it's going to work. Right now, new special, you lose up to 30 pounds, plus get a 30-day program for just $30. Kids join free with parent enrollment. Some conditions apply. Drop by one of their great 15 Houston locations. I go to the one on Kirby. be swinging by there tomorrow, as a matter of fact. For your free, no-obligation consultation, visit quickweightlosscenter.com or call 1-888-305-1117. That's 1-888-305-1117. Quick Weight Loss Center, 1-888-305-1117.
ESPN 97.5.
Behold the King, the King of Kings. On your knees, dog.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Get back to your phone calls in a minute, but right now, you know what that music means. Houston Chronicle columnist Jerome Solomon joins us. Never know what Jerome's going to say or what he's going to do, whether it's going to make sense or not. That's why it's always great to have him on the show. What's up, Jerome?
That's how it's going to be. You want to start like that?
Oh, always, man. Always.
Is that how you want to go?
Yeah, it's exactly how I want to go.
So you think Tagmata Jones ought to be arrested? You know, because you slam somebody's head like that in a helmet on the street, you go to jail. I can't believe Amari Cooper hadn't went down and pressed charges.
Yeah, you know what? You already sounded so stupid the first time we did this. Let's get on to something else, which is, what the hell do you do at quarterback this week if I suddenly put you in charge of the Texans?
Well, the trick part is, I wouldn't have been in this situation in the first place, so I'm not even going to go back and try to do all that because I've been saying it all along how ridiculous this is. But for Bill O'Brien, in the situation that he's in, he needs to, should go with Ryan Mallett because he's the one who created this mess. He's the one that chose his guy, and he can't be upset at the guy because the guy played like the guy plays. That's what Brian Hoyer is. That's exactly the guy he's always been and always will be. And he gave you that, and you were disappointed, and you yanked him out of the game. You can't yank him out of the game when he does what he does. I mean, that's just dumb. So since he yanked him out of the game, he needs to go ahead and go, my bad, my mistake, 6 months of wasted time. Let's go with the next guy.
And overall, I mean, the performance was pretty shoddy across the board, but how much did that impact it, the two bad turnovers by Hoyer? How much did that take them out of the game?
Pretty much all of it. I mean, think about it. We say across the board because the defense looked like they were being abused, but they gave up two easy touchdowns. And granted, you didn't have to give up a touchdown, but when the team takes over at the 7-yard line, the 13-yard line, right, off of a turnover, it's pretty hard to – you know, you're not going to always keep teams out of end zone in that situation, but the defense only gave up 13 points. They gave up nothing after halftime. So the defense figured it out a little bit. And as the college players like to always say when they get abused, I mean, the other guys are on scholarship too. So Andy Reid is going to outcoach you. He's going to show up with an offense that can do some damage. And once the Texans figured it out, they played a lot better, but they didn't have a chance because one, the offense put him in a bad position, and two, the offense wasn't good enough to help them fight back out of it either.
Jerome, let's switch it up a little bit and talk about what's going on at the University of Texas. We had Rod Babers on earlier, so we got into the whole Steve Patterson thing a little bit. But what are your thoughts on what's happening there?
It defies logic. I'm trying to write something about it now, and from the get-go, it was a bad move, a pitiful decision. I didn't understand it. I'm like I do. We all know Oliver Luck, and we know the kind of person that he is, and he was the right man for the job at the time and the wise choice. I didn't find out until recently that the search committee or the search firm that they hired to go out and look actually recommended Luck as well. So hiring Steve Patterson was just a dumb decision, and a lot of it had to do with, you know, they knew he would come in and wouldn't, you know, be afraid to tell Mac Brown, you got to hit the road. And Oliver Luck wouldn't have done that. Oliver Luck, I know for a fact, would have come in and let Mac Brown exit with some dignity. He would allow, probably allow him to coach one more year so he can leave with a, you know, good farewell type tour, et cetera. And in hindsight, it looks like that wouldn't have made that big of a difference, obviously. But even at the time, you figure Mack Brown deserved a little better than he got. But they were in such a hurry to get rid of Mack Brown. They hired a guy who was a no-nonsense guy. And I don't care what people say. College athletics, it's not a business. There's a lot of money involved, but it's not a business. You're not selling a product to people that's worth what they give. You're asking people to give you millions for something that's worth hundreds. And the only way to get them to do that is to have a personality to make them love the university. And Steve Patterson made people hate him and the university. He had to go.
What are your thoughts with what's going on with the Astros right now? Are you starting to get concerned for them?
It's hard to get concerned in terms of, you know, what do you expect from them? They battled to get here. They probably shouldn't be here. They're way ahead of where anybody imagined they would be. And all they need to do, they don't need to turn into a great team. They just need to steady it a little bit and win some. And, you know, and they've gotten some bad luck in terms of the Rangers are winning games they had no business winning and been on a roll that they probably shouldn't have been on. These things go up and down and kind of settle themselves out. I mean, the Astros are in the thick of it, and they should be in the thick of it. They do need some more clutch hitting, and they need to deliver. That's the thing. They deliver so many clutch hits and major comebacks that you get used to it, but they need to stop falling behind as much. But when they do, they're gonna have to rely on the top of the lineup delivering at key moments down the stretch here and try to sneak their way into the playoffs without falling completely apart. I guess if you're a fan, yeah, you're nervous. But even if you're a fan, I got to think you go, man, it's a whole lot more fun thinking about how good the team is and that it's in the hunt in mid-September than what we've seen the last few years where mid-April the hunt was over.
I got to say, I'd be extra worried right now if I was an Astros fan because I'm seeing not only are the Astros giving up their lead, the Twins are catching up on everybody. The second wild card could be slipping away.
That's the thing. But at some point, you know, things have to balance out. I mean, the Twins and the Rangers can't both just keep rolling. Well, they could, but I wouldn't bet on that. I would bet the Astros will win at a decent clip going forward. And they, you know, unless they fall completely apart. You know, if they fall completely apart, it doesn't matter what anybody else does. I expect them to get back and win enough games to hold people off and the Rangers and the Twins to come back down to earth here over the last couple of weeks. But it should be exciting either way.
Jerome Solomon, our guest. And Jerome, one thing that kind of got lost this weekend a little bit was UH going in and beating Louisville. And I've been saying all along how I'm impressed with Tom Herman. Give me your thoughts on him and in that win for UH on Saturday.
And that's one of those tricky ones, Fred. I'm sure it's like you. I didn't catch you guys last week when you were doing prediction, but I was not at all surprised they beat Louisville. I expected them to win that game. And this, people act like U of H has been winning 4 or 5 games a year. No, they've been winning games, a lot of games over the last few years. And say whatever you want about Tony Levine, you know, the guy was winning some games. This is a program that can win games and should win games. And Tom Herman is an impressive coach. Everybody who's ever he's ever worked for is high on him and his ability to get it done. So, no, I expected him to win that game. So I'm not jumping up and down and go, ooh, I'm excited and thrilled. I'm like, well, that's what they should do. Now, the test is they should win, you know, 4 or 5 more in a row after this. Will they be able to do that? Will they be able to avoid, you know, the surprise loss to a team that they're favored over? And that's going to be the standard that you measure them by, not beating a team like Louisville. Granted, on the road, second game of the season, second game of a, you know, of a regime, it is impressive. I'm not taking that away from them, but I'm not at all surprised.
Which Big 12 team has impressed you the most so far from what you've seen through 2 games?
Yeah, it's hard to tell. I mean, I you know, you give OU a little credit for being able to put together a decent half and come back and win at Tennessee, but that's what Tennessee does. It Baylor and TCU, Baylor and TCU, those are the teams, and
I think Baylor is the one that I know that team will be a lot better 6 weeks from now than it is today. It can't help but be because you got a brand new quarterback even in Art Briles' system, and you got to give them credit. They hit the ground running, and they keep on doing what they're doing, even if they're playing nobody, which is, you know, the way they want to do things early on. But that's the team I would keep my eye on going forward. It's just, you know, it's the Bears, and you know, we'll see how that game this year at TCU is in Fort Worth, and will that be the difference from 61-58? Will it flip around this time around? And otherwise, I don't think any other teams are even close to those guys.
That's Jerome Solomon, Houston Chronicle columnist, joins us every week, unless he's injuring himself or saying something really stupid, which, you know, it happens sometimes. Follow him on Twitter, at Jerome Solomon. Jerome, appreciate the time, man. Always fun.
No problem. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Okay.
All right, guys, I'm going to tell you about Gary Trichter. And if you found yourself in trouble with the law, accused of DWI, especially if you didn't think you were drunk and you know, they had you take a test. They can force you to take these tests now at no refusal weekends. They may have had you take a test. They may have just said, well, you're drunk. That's it. And there's not much you can do to fight it, right? Well, wrong. Attorney Gary Trichter is a DWI specialist here in Houston. What that means is he's experienced in telling the truth about the test that the police will have you take and the faulty science behind those tests, the breath test and the blood test. A lot of inaccuracies, a lot of reliability issues with those tests. And a DUI specialist is someone who's experienced in pointing those out and doing it in front of a jury. You know, a lot of DWI attorneys will go in and plead guilty and hope that the judge takes it easy on you. Not Gary Trichter. He fights the science that the police try to present as fact because it's just not. If you failed the breath or blood test, whether it's DWI, DUI, or boating while intoxicated, call attorney Gary Trichter, one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the state. Put his number on your cell phone now, 713-524-1010, or visit texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Cowboys-Eagles 3:30 Sunday, presented by All-American Berryman Products on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz. Would you like to win fantastic seats to UFC 192 or a pair of tickets to see an MLB playoff game? Or how about a four-night stay at the all-inclusive Miraval Resorts in Nuevo Vallarta, Mexico? In other words, are you up for whatever? Join Jason Braddock and the ESPN 97.5 Road Crew for Up for Whatever Sundays, presented by Bud Light. This week, we're at the Little Jays on Washington from noon until 2, when the hometown team takes on the Panthers. It could be your Sunday to win whatever. It's a pretty good collection of stuff.
No doubt.
I want those UFC tickets.
A lot of people want those UFC tickets. It's going to be a fun weekend.
It is.
It's coming up quick, too.
It is. Right around the corner. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
All right. So the good news is about five people sent me this story. So
yeah, it was a given today. That was the one.
Yeah, because who doesn't love barbecue, right?
I love barbecue. You know, I'm a meat connoisseur, Fred.
John, you love barbecue?
Oh, yeah.
Grilled and smoked meats.
Brisket, I love.
Oh, I love it.
Really good brisket.
The rib at the beef rib at Killens.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, it melts in your mouth.
And brisket. Do you like how do you like your brisket cut? Do you like it to be lean? Do you like it moist?
I like it. I like it moist. I do too. And
I love that fat on the end, and I love the burn ends. I'm just drooling thinking about it.
We mentioned, you know, Killens, we know, has great barbecue, and so does Vince Wilfork because he looks like he's been eating a whole bunch of
damn
it there
right
lately.
He does.
But Jackson Street downtown has terrific brisket.
Yeah, that is a good place. Yeah. Right.
We all love brisket, especially. I'll tell you what we don't love. Having brisket thrown in our face when it's heated up to about 250 degrees.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a lot of fun.
Apparently, last week's Kentucky Barbecue Festival, and frankly, if it weren't for Florida, Kentucky would be a state we talk a lot more about.
Yes.
Because there are some...
Undervalued as a ridiculous school.
Yeah. Obviously, Florida is the consensus number one. You know, they're the Ohio State of morons. Right. But I'll tell you what, Kentucky, very underrated. Well, the Kentucky Barbecue Festival, a man threw a hot piece of brisket at a woman and burned her face, neck, and shoulders. Mm. It was at the 5th Annual Kentucky Barbecue Festival. And 42-year-old Mike Owings, who works for Draper's Barbecue out of Carlisle County, was sharing a cooker with a Bardstown woman when he started losing his temper.
All right.
I guess they were fighting over the cooker. At that point, he threw a piece of hot brisket at the woman. She had burns to her shoulder, her neck area, her ear area, and her right back shoulder. She was treated on the scene. Police say they're not exactly how big that piece of brisket
I hate
was.
Getting hit in the ear with barbecue.
Yeah.
That's the worst place to hit with a brisket.
I want to get hit in the mouth with it.
Yeah.
That's where barbecue's supposed to go. But it was between 200 and 250 degrees when it hit the woman. Ooh. And was worth about $100. So who throws away $100 worth of brisket?
How pissed do you have to be to throw a brisket at someone?
Well, you're in Kentucky, not very pissed.
And by the way, barbecue in Kentucky, I don't care how big that brisket is, it's not worth $100. They didn't do it right.
No, that'd be a whole cow.
Yeah.
You'd have to throw a whole cow at her.
Kentucky barbecue. I lived in Kentucky. Don't try to sell me Kentucky barbecue.
I've been there many times. But he told police he didn't mean for anyone to get hurt. It's got to be a big piece of brisket, because looking at a picture of this guy, he's a large man. He could throw a big chunk pretty easily. But he said he just snapped, and he was upset and took it off the cooker and threw it because they wanted them off there. He threw it in that direction, not aiming to hit her, but she ended up getting hit. So guess what he gets charged with?
That's assault, brother.
Second-degree wanton endangerment.
Damn.
That's a pretty cool-sounding thing.
Sounds horrible.
35-year-old Mary Berry. Oh, God, that's... Of course, she was working with Firehouse Barbecue out of... Florida.
Yeah.
She's expected to be okay. Somehow Florida was going to get involved in this. But for one thing, don't throw your meat at a woman's face. That's just not acceptable. Unless you're invited. And make sure that it's not all warmed up.
Yeah, not hot for sure.
No, because you will do damage. And that's a dangerous thing. Anyway, thanks to everybody who sent that story. But that was probably the biggest slam dunk gym of the day we've had in forever.
Strong work, boys.
So, anyway.
And actually, girl.
Girls, yeah. I think Christina was
the one who sent it.
Yeah, I think she sent it to me first. So, I'll give her credit. She's been on a little bit of a roll today. She had a couple of pretty good tweets, too. So, good job, Christina. Anyway, that is your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right. Yeah, I love a little barbecue stuff.
Where do you think the best barbecue comes from? Because a lot of people swear by Kansas City barbecue. I've never had it.
It's a different kind of barbecue. Man, Kansas City, Memphis, North Carolina, and Texas. That's the...
And they're all very good. It just depends on your taste. I do like Kansas City barbecue quite a bit. I will still say... that the best barbecue that I've ever had is stuff that people make here on their cookers, you know, that individuals make more so than restaurants. I've had some great, great stuff at you know, barbecue cook-offs and things like that. And I'm always amazed that there's so few restaurants that do it well here.
I wish I had more skill on the grill. My old man is like a master at it, and the gene just wasn't passed on to me.
The only thing I can make are those Jack Daniel's burgers I told you about.
I'm
pretty badass with those, but boy, you try to.
My old man is the ribs. He's the king of ribs.
Mm.
It's just I can't do it right. But I lean to Texas barbecue, and I also like spicy sauce. I don't like sweet sauce. I'm out on that, and I definitely don't like. Dry rub stuff. I mean, I don't dislike it, but I don't like it as much.
I don't, and it's funny because that's like a big thing every time we go to Canada. I have to get dry ribs. It's like, I don't want that.
Man.
No, I want succulent ribs that
the
melt
wet stuff.
I want it to
like
melt off.
Sloppy.
I want it to melt off the bone where it just comes off without having to dig your teeth into it. That dry rib stuff. That's for people that are stuck in a winter hole all year or something.
Yeah. How good is Franklin's? I've never been to Franklin's. How does that compare to...
Franklin's is legit. What's crazy about Franklin's is...
To Killen's.
Franklin's used to be called Ben's Long Branch Barbecue. And Ben, the guy who owned it, Franklin's where it is right next to my old office when I worked at ESPN in Austin. And he loved the show, and this dude was like the greatest character. He's like an old black man, and it was so funny to hear him talk about football. And so we had him come in and do picks. We always had a bunch of crazy characters on our show doing football picks. I've told you before, we had mentally challenged people doing football picks.
Yeah.
We had porn stars doing football picks every week. But Barbecue Ben was one of our many characters. And then he sold that barbecue place to Franklin's. And obviously that side, the east side of Austin, east of 35, is blowing up over the last couple of years. And I don't know what he sold it for. I haven't talked to him in a while, but I hope that he got something for it because...
Did he sell the recipe too?
I think he did, but I don't think they used the same recipes. But Franklin's is legit. Franklin's is legit. I'd have a tough time. I will say, for the most part, Austin Central Texas barbecue, greater than Houston area barbecue.
I would agree with that. There's a lot of places just around Austin, like in Luling and places like that.
Lockhart.
There's great
barbecue around there, but and it's hard to find consistent barbecue around this city.
Well, I'm excited that Gatlin's is reopening because that's a pretty solid place too.
Man, there's a badass place called Virgie's in Spring Branch, and it's a little hole in the wall place. And every time I've been there, it's really really good. But they keep the most jacked up hours. Like, they're just open whenever they feel like it. So you almost have to like call in advance to check if they're open. And I'm all about, you know, small business and you know, taking care of what you need to around your business. But you got to make that business a priority if it's going to succeed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep your hours up.
Oh, well. Anyway.
I'm trying to eat, man.
Nothing like a little barbecue in your face for the
day. That's right.
All right. What are you telling the people about here?
What am I doing, John? DFC? All right. Tell you guys about DFC Interior Cleaning. I do it all the time because it's always great, man. The kids are back in school. Last thing you want to do is have to worry about what the summertime activities did to your carpets. You know, going back and forth from baseball games and pool parties and cookouts. Your carpets are a mess, even if you don't think they are. They're probably bad, and they probably look bad. That's why I need to call the pros over at DFC. I used them in Austin. I've used them in Houston. They do fantastic work, and they leave your carpets looking like new. They're Houston's leading carpet cleaning professional because they've got the best technology in the industry. They don't use soaps or chemicals, which can damage your carpet fibers, and it's chemical, so it's not safe for you or your kids or your pets. They use a non-toxic patented pre-spray with super water with their truck-powered equipment, and that's what really sets them apart, the technology. And it's not just carpet, guys. They'll do tile, stone, leather, oriental rugs, upholstery, air ducts, marble, all with that unique patented technology. Call now. You get a family four-pack to the Texas Renaissance Festival with any purchase. And the perfect end to a night or an adventure-packed day at the Renaissance Festival is coming home to a clean house. Call 281-347-8373. That's 281-347-8373. Or visit them online at dirtfreecarpet.com for 24-hour scheduling and additional specials. That's dirtfreecarpet.com, 281-347-8373 for Dirt Free.
ESPN 97.5.